Hey y'all, just wanted to give you a quick trigger warning. We do discuss some instances of sexual assault that were discussed in this documentary, so just want to give you a heads up and enjoy the show.
It ain't a problem, it's my job, son. Sweep the streets clean, rinse it up, keep it lean. There's players in the frame, up in the game. Thinking things have changed, but it's still the same. If you all move to my plan, things will work out fine, turn out grand. If everything works to my design, we'll all be down and it's still all mine.
So I feel like we could probably jump right into
it.
Yeah. Unless you have something you want to talk about.
Oh no, honey, we're recording.
Okay, cool. Oh, we're recording? Oh, my...
See, so my embarrassing internet, for you.
This is so embarrassing for me. Keep this in. This is Patreon.
It's kind of like a documentary, right? Like, we're kind of showing the behind-the-scenes process of how we kick off every episode.
Right. And I have to, you know, me, myself, I have to be vulnerable, too, in order for this to work.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just about what we're depicting. It's also about my own vulnerabilities. Yeah. Okay. So, we... welcome back to the Patreon committee. That was a look behind the scenes. I'm Sophie. I'm joined today by Franny. Franny, how was your day?
It was okay. I think I told you this. So TMI, but Cookie had like a ton of diarrhea like the night before.
Shout out
last.
To the dog.
Shout out to the dog for having diarrhea. And you know, it is like, I feel like when we first got her, I was like, this is kind of like having a newborn baby. And like, obviously it's not, but in this case, I do feel like it was having a newborn baby because either Meg or me was up like every hour.
Yeah.
But I'm still kind of tired from that. But, and you know, getting the beautiful smoke in here from Canada, I was like, why are my allergies so bad? Like, I was like, do I have COVID again? I just had COVID a month ago.
Yeah.
Less than 30 days ago. And it's because of the smoke here. But what about you?
So I, this morning when I was driving to work, literally I started coughing, could not stop coughing, and then like hocked a loogie onto my steering wheel.
Oh my God.
And was like, where the fuck did this come from? And then I, you know, the haze says
it all. The lavender haze.
The lavender haze. And just in time for Pride Month, the lavender haze, proving that Taylor meant gay when she wrote that song.
And guys, the Shark Tank tweet that I did, I'm out doing numbers. We have 30 likes on it. So
Shout out to the real fans.
Yeah, Meg suggested I should make an edit to Born This Way. And I'm like, I think that's... Care Bears made an edit to Born This Way. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Care Bears was like, released all these like pride stickers. They were like, we've always, you know, cared about pride. Like Care Bears are all about being different
being
and embracing.
Gay,
yeah.
Each other off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to hop right into it. As I said in my recorded, accidentally recorded sort of found footage moment that we played at the beginning of the episode. So I watched this documentary. I ended up watching it twice because I kept falling asleep while watching it. And so I was like, okay, I have to like give myself like a run through of this where like I'm awake the entire time. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I wasn't interested in it. To be clear, I was. I was just like watching it like after work where like I will fall asleep under any circumstance.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like there's of course for today we're talking about Bama Rush. I guess let's kick off of kind of what our investments were in the original Bama Rush, because that was of course in 2021, like a TikTok trend, girls showing up. That was when the pants store came about.
The pants store.
And what did they say? They were like, jewelry is everyday or jewelry is normal. Or they're like talking about like their jewelry they wear every day.
Oh, yeah. Jewelry is normal.
Jewelry is normal.
Yeah, the pants store. Where, you know, I still remember where I was when I learned about the pants store.
I feel like I almost go to the pants store. I don't know if that's where Michaela goes when she's shopping, but she's like, I kind of feel like this is what my mom would wear.
She kind of talks like Whitney Rose from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And this is what it's like they, we'll get into Michaela,
yeah,
but
we'll get into Michaela.
One of the most perplexing characters from the Bama Rush documentary who speaks as if it is her first day on Earth.
Yeah.
We watched the Bama Rush documentary directed by Rachel Fleet, who, as we will all learn,
has alopecia.
She made this documentary during a period where that TikTok was calling Bama Rush season two, because Bama Rush season one occurred in like August of 2021 when Bama Rush TikTok first went viral. Who were the girlies of Bama Rush TikTok season one?
That one girl who was interviewed for like 2 seconds.
The one girl who's interviewed.
She had a talking head in this, and she was like the original Bama Rush girl. And
she's that was a Bama Rush YouTuber.
Oh, this Bama Rush YouTuber. Okay,
that was a Bama YouTuber. That girl, different. Bama Rush season one was like, do we remember real Dolly Parton or whatever?
Yeah.
That girl who like, it was like her and like her tall friend and like a random girl who would sometimes appear in the background of their videos. There were a couple girls who like got dropped by all of the sororities and then kind of like went like anti Bama Rush.
Yeah.
But the biggest star was probably the pants store, or as you mentioned, normal jewelry.
I still want to know where it's from.
Yes, exactly. Like even if you wear it every day, it's like,
it still came from somewhere. Right. You have to respect that.
Bama Rush season two, which this follows, gave us such stars as Michaela. One of my favorites. Well, Michaela in this documentary, who is a star, but specifically in the TikTok realm, Grant, the transgender girl who everybody, I read a New York Times article today, like about, there was a review of the documentary and they interviewed Grant, who everybody thought that she, because she was trans, was a plant for the documentary, and like that was so one of the stupid reasons why, like,
and they're like, the oh, they're gonna record with their mic, they're like, can you imagine watching a documentary that had like no visuals and only like microphone like footage? It's like, that's audio, not gonna happen. Yeah. It's because like, because it's like scraping against their clothes and stuff.
Here. Yeah, exactly. Now tell us, how much money does your dad make? Like,
what was the this, okay, that was so funny when they were talking about the five B's to not talk about. It's bills, isn't it?
Like boobies, butts, vagina,
vaginas, banus,
banus, brain.
But one of them, I was like, I told Meg, I was like, oh my god, like it's gonna be Biden, and Biden was one of the five B's. So I was like, at what point did you integrate? Do you think it was like Obama before that? Like Obama. Brump, Donald? Isn't it Donald? Is it Donald B. Trump? What's his?
Oh no, you know what the last. The last B used to be, because I asked my cousin about this,
yeah.
Who was a sorority girl, ballot.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Biden's just kind of a reskin of that.
Yeah, Biden, because they hate Biden so much, is now a reskin. But yeah, so the stars of Bama Rush season two, Grant, the transgender girl who was, you know, like I believe has probably seen horrors on this earth that like I have no way of, you know, she's seen way too much for like an 18-year-old. And then Kylan, do you know Kylan?
No.
I hope Franny, we are on different sides of TikTok. I hope, well, I'm no longer on TikTok, hashtag brag.
I don't know, because I feel like we can just kind of bounce around here. I'm assuming that a lot of our audience has seen this.
Well, there's no plot. It's a documentary.
There's no plot. It's a documentary. So there's like four girls who are currently rushing or about to rush. And
let's talk about each of the girls.
Okay. So
to give it some
we
structure.
Have Michaela. Let's start out with Michaela, because Michaela is interesting in that she is the only rush who's, she's like biracial that we
yeah,
see.
She's not white. The she's rest are white, yeah. white blonde yeah. girls.
Though she does talk a lot about, I say biracial because she's like, well, like she said, I think she said, doesn't she say like, I'm not white or black, or does she say I
yes,
am white?
She says she identifies as biracial.
As biracial,
like when she
yeah.
refers to herself, she identifies as biracial.
Yeah. So like, but yeah. So she is the only one who is not straight up white, I guess I should say. Like she is not, but like, so she, that is an interesting part of her. And of course we talked about like, I don't know. In comparison to these other girls, that's a little more interesting. However,
I don't. Okay, to be real though, about my opinion, I didn't find that to be interesting, because the documentary does at almost there's
zero
like eight,
work on
5 minutes.
Race.
Yes, there's
one almost, girl who's really great who has the Nicki Minaj poster in the background. Who I think
yes,
is also
I love her.
Mixed, and she talks a lot about like basically like her sorority, like. being mad at her for her saying things aren't always like peachy and like having these girls be like, pretend to be like, oh, your hair is so pretty today. Like, did you use relaxer on that? And she does, but insane. I wish we could have seen more with her. I wish we could have seen more with current sorority members. Like, yeah,
well, but they wouldn't do it. Like, that's the thing is, right. I think that they found one girl who would do it. Like, that's the thing is, with this documentary,
because those other two blonde girls in the top tier one were not really doing it either.
No, it was vastly underreported. Yes. It felt like
so surface level.
It felt like HBO gave her the budget to shoot for like 3 weeks, and so it.
But then
it,
she was like, "I've been shooting here for a year."
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god! Well, that's shocking to me because I was like. I felt like they were like, okay, you have 3 weeks to make a movie. And because it was like, there were like six girls in the whole movie. And I just felt like, especially, she shouldn't have, in my opinion, if she wasn't going to talk to more people, she shouldn't have literally even talked about race in the documentary.
Right.
Because she talks to two girls who are not white, too. Out
and
of
also,
like the whole like 2 hour
two
movie.
Girls that are of the same like they're both biracial, so it's like, okay, you're not talking about like all these other potential experiences that you could have here. She didn't talk to anyone like queer, like, and I think that's a main something that's really sticking with me
are
about
there
this
any
documentary.
Queer people
well a certain I think that there are definitely just in any population
I'm mostly joking
well
but
no but
like,
I get what you mean because they would be like no because you might look at us in our underwear right like that's like the vibe and I think that is what is unfortunate about her whole turn with the alopecia because I think I when you look at this documentary on IMDb it has a 1 out of 10. I think that's way too low for what it
that
is.
That is way too low.
It's just
yeah.
like a mid-tier
people
documentary.
Are so fucking people are so fucking rude. Like that's the other thing is I read this whole thing where people are like this Bama Rush documentary did not do enough to like represent like the sorority. And it's like I like every documentary is going to have a point of view. I honestly commend the director for picking.
It was way more positive than I would have been, I think, if I was in this situation.
Oh, 100%. Well, but I also think, that that's kind of easy to say from our perspective as somebody who, like, didn't spend a lot of time with these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think, like, when you, and I also think the turnaround was really quick. I think that when you get as close as she did to the subject matter, it's hard to then produce a product that is negative.
Right. But the fact that people are rating this like 1%, like based on the director talking about herself, alopecia, I do get where she was coming from with that, because I think what 100%. She is saying, and especially when she interviewed those two sorority girls who like were blonde and skinny and white and cis and presumably like straight, presumably strange this in like a top tier sorority.
Those two girls were fucking each other. Those two girls were
absolutely
fucking
each other. I know, yeah, like probably outwardly straight. Like what is happening there is that, and those two girls are like, well, I don't feel as pretty as my friends. I think that's what she is trying to say, get at the alopecia. It's like this is kind of a metaphor maybe for womanhood in general, is that even when you're 100%. Like at the top of it and you're in the 1%, like you're still obviously going to be a disadvantage, and then add any sort of other identity on top of that is not fitting that, you know, quote unquote exact like standard of femininity, and you're going to be out of it. Even these women who are like young is the other thing, like you're, you know, you're in the quote unquote prime of your life. So I don't mind the alopecia thing. I think that if you are writing like a long form narrative piece, that's what you would do. That woman is just kind of annoying. Just the thing.
Yes.
Like, that's
yeah.
the,
she's
that,
like,
but that's not an issue. In a documentary, it's like, I watch a lot of documentaries. Most of them are like this. They're just like not very good, but it doesn't mean it was bad. It's just like not and it's hard because to make a good documentary, often you're going to have access to things that are probably going to be, I say like taboo, but like there's the obvious point of a documentary is getting to see the inner workings of something that is unfamiliar to you. This woman did not have this access.
No.
So therefore I think her narrative becomes grating, but I don't think it deserves a 1 out of 10 on IMDb. I'd give it like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree. I think that like,
it's not her fault. She's annoying. Like I think the alopecia thing is a fine tie-in. Yeah.
I think that I commend her for making a choice where the majority of people just wanted like the kind of documentary that they make about like a senseless murder of a woman that happened 2 weeks ago, where essentially right.
Or when they
had,
like the Murdaugh documentary in it that exactly. like came out before like his trial or whatever, like
right where someone sits down, they show you a bunch of pictures and they say, and then this happened, and you're not even gonna guess how fucked up it got next, right. You know yeah. what I mean, like they just want like lurid details, and this was not what she was going to do. Like the director, her most recent project was the documentary about Selma Blair.
Yeah.
Depicting.
Which I can imagine that would be different because that's a character study. And that is probably what this director is better at.
Like her like struggle with disabilities, particularly yeah. in the last few years of her life after she's been diagnosed with MS, which by the way, sidebar, I read Selma Blair's memoir, Mean Baby, this week. It is so good. And I like, didn't even know much about her, but she is an incredible writer, and the memoir is
really,
really, really good. Like it's like a don't miss. It came out a few months ago, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to get to it because it's fantastic. But yeah, I just it's like it's better for her trying to make a bold creative choice, and for the kind of I was impressed with a couple of the relationships she was able to cultivate with the one subjects. With the
girl from California, definitely.
Yes. Like that to me was genuinely very poignant that they were able to, because I feel like at least in my life, those like cross-generational friendships with like women who like aren't in my family, like have been very like important to me and like very helpful in my mm-hmm. development. And so I thought that the fact that she clearly formed this relationship with this young woman where they were like good friends, like I thought that the depiction of that was very, very nice. But so Michaela, she is a sophomore. She's rushing for the first time. She didn't rush in her first year.
And it's really not an exaggeration. She really talks this softly and like you can kind of barely hear her.
Yeah,
and she's roommates with this girl named Holiday, who Holiday has been blacklisted. This is what really annoyed me about Michaela. Well, that's what they, isn't that what they said? Like, basically, or was it for drinking too much?
No, they said that she was blacklisted for wearing the sticker of another sorority.
Which I was like, what sticker?
It's implied that it was really because she was
sleeping around.
She was sleeping around.
Well, Holiday was my favorite of these four girls. Well, I liked the girl from California. The girl from Illinois, I said...
Well, don't even talk about Shelby yet. I have hundreds of things to say about Shelby.
Yeah, we have
Shelby.
A lot to say about Shelby.
We're going to have to dedicate 30 minutes to Shelby. I have been on Shelby's Instagram literally scrolling down for updates. Like, every time I go to the bathroom at work, I'm, like, updating Shelby's Instagram. I'm obsessed with this girl.
Yes, let's go, Shelby. But Michaela is roommates with Holiday. The thing that really annoyed me about Michaela is... I don't know if I was just missing context here, but there's a part where, because they're like very, very close. And then Holiday calls her in the car and she's like,
this was so crazy.
Yeah. She's like,
they're roommates. They're best friends.
And with another
roommates.
Girl named Kristen, who I guess is not rushing, yes. But they're like, oh, like my friend told me that like you and Kristen were talking about me and calling me like clingy and psycho. And then Michaela's like, I just don't want to be part of the drama. And it's like, and then like she won't comment on it anymore. So I'm like, you did say that. That just like really turned me off.
She fully said that. Yeah.
Right. It's like you said that. Yeah.
And like this girl Holiday clearly, like the thing is like broken people find each other, especially in college. Like both of them bonded over the fact that they both had dads that passed away when they were very young under tragic circumstances. But both of them are so deeply like not okay and like chaotic and just like seeking like the kind of love that you need as a young woman like that. And they appear to just be torturing each other. And it is unclear. The biggest thing that irritated me about Michaela was that it seemed like she was like, yeah, sure, I'll rush. I don't care. Like she did not want to be there and she ended up dropping out.
Though.
But I think the documentary hired that coach.
Okay. A coach who said, the coach said, do not stand out at all.
Yeah,
is what the coach said, which is like, okay. I think one
the coach
things,
who also was deeply broken because the first time she rushed, she didn't get into a sorority. And 40 years later, she is making us all pay for it by like essentially forcing young women to stay silent.
Yeah. And I think also too, like that's one thing that a few things that this documentary could have focused on and didn't. Number one, well, something that happens with Michaela and Holiday, and I say luckily because trigger warning, because we're going to, I think, talk about kind of the subject of sexual assault. The one thing I don't care to talk about at all is like the machine. I really don't care. That's totally what people wanted, but I really don't care.
That's totally not real.
Well, okay, I did look it up, but it is real in influencing like municipal elections.
It is real, but it's not real in any material way, because my question is, what the fuck have you ever gone to a school where student government has done anything?
Yeah.
School I've ever gone to, they've had to force people to be in student government because student government doesn't do anything.
Right. I think that also is interesting too, because to me it seems interchangeable. People who don't go to Alabama call the University of Alabama call it as a whole the machine, but people within it call this specific like subsect of student government the machine. So that's, I don't know. I don't care about all that because I don't know about it. But the things that they don't talk about is like, they don't delve into that much, is that Holiday and Michaela like went out and like someone roofied them, and nothing happened this. As far as they say, as far as like them being assaulted. But then after that's their friendship breakup. And I feel like there wasn't enough kind of,
well,
seriousness. And maybe I was too harsh on Michaela of like, maybe that's them both dealing with it in different ways, basically.
I think so. Yeah. I think that these, like the horror, like once again, I said a few minutes ago about talking about Grant, the trans girl who like went viral for rushing, has seen horrors beyond what you or I would believe. I believe most of these young women have, because did you catch Holiday being like, yeah, I've been roofied like 4 or 5 times?
Yeah. And it's like, girl, you've been here for like 1 year.
A year. Well, a year. The way that womanhood exists there is something that, just speaking for myself, like feels very unrecognizable. Like their experience and the way that they are socialized and treated at that university. All of the girls, especially the ones who are active members of sororities, the way that they check their speech naturally, like they will immediately, whenever one of them is asked a question, they say, I don't know. I don't know about that. Oh, well, I guess I can give you my opinion.
Right.
Like, you know, they're so reticent to share their opinion on anything. Like, it's like they are being subjected to like a fun house of horrors on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. You know, something that this documentary got me thinking about, just because I feel like, you know, I went to a school where Greek life was very big. I didn't rush, but in the back of my mind, I can think sororities are like a net negative for the world in terms of those institutions, as well as being like, I'm totally jealous of that. And like, would always be like, oh, I wonder what sorority I would have been in, basically. And that kind of got me thinking, just because like, and I feel like I could be real about this because it's the Patreon, but just like, when we get messages that are like, you guys are pick me's, like, you know, you're too mean about people. I think that that always, and I don't think it bothers you as much, but it bothers me because I feel like I'm very vulnerable on this podcast about having been jealous of that, like,
yeah,
you know, total, that sort of like, quote unquote, like perfect femininity, which obviously, as we've said, like, still has downfalls. So that always kind of, and I feel like this documentary got to it where like, I remember like in college, it was like, oh, like someone like wrote an op-ed that I knew. And it was like, oh, like, you know, people in sororities shouldn't judge people not in sororities, and people not in sororities shouldn't judge people in sororities. And it's like, it just made me think of this, because honestly, like those comments like really like do hurt me a lot. And I know that it's just like, that's what like being a woman on the internet is, but I hope that our true listeners kind of know that like, that's not my like heart is like hate, like being a hater. You know what I mean?
My heart is being a hater.
I feel like 100%. I'm very vulnerable though about like being jealous. I try to be vulnerable about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think that there is a way that, in the sort of the era of pop feminism, that has, you know, started around 2014, when Taylor Swift released 1989, and has, you know, that has empowered, a certain thing that's like, if you like this idea of being a quote unquote girl's girl, this idea that, you know, like you are like hating on other women by, you know, questioning adherence to femininity, and especially adherence to femininity in ways that mimic and uphold like capitalism and fatphobia and, like, and yeah, homophobia and whiteness. Like there's this idea of like, oh, just say you hate women and like things like that when people, you know, and it has sort of empowered a certain class of people. Like I believe, and once again, like this is my belief. I'm mm-hmm. not speaking from a position of authority on this. I'm just not. I'm literally only saying my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I have had a lot of friends who were in Greek life. I don't think it makes you a bad person. I believe that when you choose to be involved in one of those organizations, you are choosing to be involved in a legacy of white supremacy, of like capitalism, of like oppression, of like, you know, a litany of you know, elitism and things like that. You are consciously choosing to do that. And like, you know, the degree of your choice absolutely is questionable. A lot of people join when they're 18 years old and want to find a sense of belonging. I have no judgment because I did a lot of things. I auditioned for an improv team. I wanted to belong too. Like,
right. I mean, and that's the thing is too, is like every single person. And I think the biggest thing here to focus on is probably whiteness. I would say that's the most salient aspect, because they even talk about in this, like, even though like Michaela is mixed, she says like, you know, I didn't even think about joining a Black sorority. And that goes to show like these Black sororities also are not in the like Panhellenic system, like, which is like the like corporation that runs Greek life basically. So that's one thing that you can see is like, this is not when like all these, you can look at this and it's like, oh, this sorority is like all Black women. Well, if you look at most sororities on University of Alabama's campus, it's all white women, right?
So well, that was the other the thing. So like the quote unquote, like top sorority at University of Alabama seems to be Alpha Phi. In some way it's top tier. And I went and I scrolled their Instagram, and their only post that features somebody who is not white and by extension, not blonde, like literally blonde white girls. The only recent post that features anybody who is not white and not blonde is a Black History Month post that is a picture of one girl.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it is the kind of thing where it's like, you have to take responsibility for that.
Right.
You just have to. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but you have to. If you are involved in that situation, that is the situation you are actively involving yourself in.
I think it's also like, it's hard because, like I said, it's not like it doesn't have its appealingness. And every person, and let's talk about like the white aspect of it, every white person does things every day, conscious or unconscious, to kind of uphold whiteness, basically. Sororities just happen to be a very, and fraternities, obviously. I think we can all say fraternities are a total, there's nothing good about fraternities.
I don't even care about it. Yeah.
But so sororities are obviously the more interesting part of this. But, you know, it's hard because it's like, that is a very visible choice that you're making. And yeah, similar, like I have friends who are in sororities, like who I love, like, I just think ultimately, like, it's hard because, like, on the other hand, it's like, well, if I was, you know, if I had considered myself more of a girl who would be in sorority, if I was born with a different set of things about me, like, would I feel that way? Like, I think it's an easy choice to make, but I still think that it's a bad choice. However, we make such bad choices, I think, all the time. Like, there are things that every white person does to uphold
every
this.
Person makes bad every, choices.
Every person, but
time.
I'm every talking specifically about choices. Like participating in like historically racist institutions because you know what I mean? But like, this is a super visible aspect of that, but I don't want this to sound like this is the only like bad choice you can make, because I just think it's one that happens to be very visible and easily critiquable because of how it continues to uphold itself time after time again, even after criticism.
But now that we're talking about it too, I don't even feel like it's boring me to talk about even like choice, because the obvious thing is that like there needs to be adults involved that just say, this was a racially segregated institution until 2013. Let's just not do it anymore.
Yeah, but they don't. They enable it. And that's the thing, too. Yes. It's like, how much can you blame, like,
kids?
You know, and that's the thing. Is 21
year old. I'm like, I'm so bored by this idea that we're blaming an 18 to 20 year old for this, because it's like, they can't, like, do I want people who participated in these things who are now adults to, like,
feel bad? No.
Feel bad? Some of them.
Sometimes,
yes.
Yeah, but most of the time, no. Yes. Like, and
no, yeah. I think like, I want you to feel a little bad, but that's just my personal opinion, because I'm, as I said, I identify as a hater. But the, it's like, the problem is the whole thing. And I also think that, like, yes, it does it serve and uphold whiteness 100%. Is that its function? Yes. But I think that the more salient issue focused on by the documentary is how it serves within whiteness, because once again, there is no mind paid to anything beyond, like, really whiteness. Like, there's, like, a brief mention of, you know, the fact that once again these institutions were segregated until 2013, but I think that the more present issue in the documentary is that it specifically seeks to subjugate white women into white womanhood, like,
right. And it's, if you think about it, when you, and this was true on my campus, certainly true on University of Alabama's campus, which, side note, I always think this is interesting. I think another reason why I didn't join a sorority at Miami is because I would be obsessed with living in a sorority house. I'd be obsessed with that. I love the Trending Houses YouTube series on sorority houses, because it's so bizarre and it's so interesting to me. There, our campus was not allowed to have, frats could have houses, but sororities couldn't have houses because of a brothel rule was the legend. But I think when you look at, like, the sororities that are quote unquote top tier, like you mentioned, who's in that? It's blonde, white, skinny, cis straight women.
Hot girls. Sorry, hot girl lobby. No, right. I'm calling it what it is.
And the lower you get, quote unquote, in the tier, that those groups become more and more diverse. So I think that's a, administration could step in a lot more. The Pan-Hellenic organization could, but
I don't
administrations do not run only, even public universities have donors. They have these stuff. It's like, that's why they're not doing it, because they are like, no, we want to make money from rich alumna. Why?
I think it's, well, I just, yeah, I think it's like the only answer is to, not let kids, participate in social stratification rituals to that degree. Because it's something that really surprised me was when they were like, the average, like, to join and then be in a sorority for a year, like, on average costs, like, I think it was like $10,000.
Right, it's a lot
like
of money.
It was something absolutely crazy. I was like, where do they even get that? Where do they get it? And the answer is obvious, their parents, but it's like, that is absolutely shocking to me. Okay. We have to talk about, Shelby.
Okay.
I have to bring up Shelby. So Shelby is Miss Quincy, Illinois. She is a
pageant.
Where
is Quincy?
I have no, I assume it's like southeast.
Okay.
No, there's, oh no. I assume it's like southeast, like towards St. Louis. No, it's no Tinley Park. They certainly didn't have a Janet Jackson Ludacris concert there. She's Miss Quincy. If there's one thing about a girl named Shelby, she has a lot of awards, and those awards are all over her room. She has been essentially like planning and dreaming of going to Bama. Something that is not discussed, but exists, at least for me, as subtext over the whole thing, is that Shelby is a little chunky. Like, that's like that's the whole thing I was thinking about. And like, just her, like, the fact that she is this like conventionally blonde, attractive woman, but you know, and I can say this because I am a woman of chunky experience. You're not seeing me right now, but I'm allowed to say this. But that was like what was hanging over me the whole time. And it's probably just me projecting onto the whole thing. But like, Shelby, like, she's one of those girls where her mom was absolutely dressing her in like business professional clothing like a 13-year-old. And like, she has binders. She's prepared. She's like, Rush is a sport. I'm like, girl, you haven't been through Rush. Like, how do you know? Like,
yeah. And she has also only has like a positive experience with it. And she actually stops filming at a certain point
because she's like, afraid.
She's afraid.
She says at one point, I fit in with sorority girls, not because I fit in with sorority girls because that's who I am, not because I have chosen to be that way. That might be like, this is all, like, what this is must have been, because these are my notes from when I texted you that I was darked out. This must have been what darked me out, because she, like, I'm just writing down, like, Illinois pageant girl, meaning Shelby, is not okay. Shelby accidentally found out she was adopted. Her parents weren't going to tell her.
That's so sad. Do you think her grandpa was trying to sabotage her when they took, because the way she told it was her grandpa was like, hey, do your parents still quote unquote want this paper? And then she was like, I don't know, let me read it. But I was like, was her grandpa trying to sabotage her? Was he just like so careless? He was like, do you want this? Like, that's what my grandma would be like. Well, I don't know. Does Clark want this paper? Like,
yeah.
My grandma, who consistently emails me and is like about my brother's hair and is like, he should cut his hair like that. The fashion one on Queer Eye. And who also said, I can't, which of them are together? I can't tell about Queer Eye.
Like, she is the fashion one on Queer Eye. That's so funny. She is like surrounded by trophies in her little room. It's like her and her two parents who once again, we're not going to tell her that she was adopted. She's like, I need to feel a sense of belonging because I was adopted. Like, she literally has like adoption trauma. She has like this whole binder. She ends up dropping out. This girl, like, she,
she doesn't drop out.
She ends up dropping out of the documentary as well. Because she's afraid, you know, because of all the rumors going around.
Sorority.
And she gets, she gets in Alpha Phi, which is a top tier sorority. And now all she does is post on Instagram about how much she loves her fellow sorority sisters. And I just was absolutely like riveted by her, because it was like, it was. And she was like, sometimes I get anxiety. Ha 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 ha. And then it was like moving on. I'm like, when are the tides going to come in for Shelby? Like, when is the Shelby breakdown era going to happen? Because, like, this is one of the most miserable people I have ever seen committed to film.
It's hard, too, because it's like, when you are in a sorority, like, you are... It's interesting, because it's not only a club, it's like a lifestyle, and especially at a place like Bama, where I think that you could, if you're not posting enough on Instagram about it, like, they have all these strict rules of you can't even like drink with your, you know, letters on, like all this stuff.
You can't come downstairs with wet hair.
Right. Yeah. It was a 2 out of 3. You had to have outfit, makeup, or clothes picked out. So
I told Nick that's the new rule in our house.
Yeah.
He can't come downstairs with, if he's not immediately looking fuckable, I don't even want to see him.
Yeah. You say, Nick, get out of here. You're not in my top tier anymore.
Yeah. I was like, you're looking pretty Sigma right now.
You're like, you're subjecting yourself to a culture where...
Punitive culture.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they even have like the... Like, I knew people in college who it's like they got kicked out by the standards board. And it's like, that's just... They're looking for an excuse to kick you out, right? It's like,
yeah,
they're not...
Right, because...
Some girls it's fine with,
and some girls
applies
differently
don't.
To people, yeah.
Exactly. So, and you know, I also kind of wonder too... Well, I have a question. So did Grant get into any of the sororities?
No, she got dropped by all of the sororities.
Okay, because I was going to say, I just wonder like how documenting this rush affects it. And I would hope slightly for the positive, because I imagine what is happening is, you know that, and they didn't really focus on this. The one girl who was a member who's like, oh, it's so hard when we have to cut like potential new members, like rushies, blah, blah, blah.
Fucking idiot.
Well, you know that they're going to like anything that is like, quote unquote, like different about you. They are going to pick up on that and use that against you. So that's why I was going to say, like, with Grant, like, I feel like that's like a good example of it is like, you can be popular online and you can even have maybe this online pressure on an institution and you can still kind of get dropped. And it's like, I don't know, like that, I wish, and obviously they're never going to show that, but like, it's like, yeah, they probably like pull up pictures of girls, like, you know,
no, they literally,
I mean, they do.
They
I mean,
literally
they
do. Yeah.
And you know, you have to imagine that not all, cause it's so easy in our culture to graft negative things onto someone if you don't like their appearance. It's just very, very easy to do. And that's, I have to imagine that's a lot of what's happening in behind closed doors.
It literally is like, at one point, one of the girls admits that like their first round of cuts is by looks.
Right.
Like it literally is by looks. And that is all you, it's, but that's the thing is I feel stupid even having this conversation because the point of a sorority in every sense is to prepare oneself for consumption by men.
Which they didn't like talk about at all, the way that like sororities work a lot of times to uphold like fraternal organizations on campus.
Yes, right.
They did not talk
like
about
that.
They
do all the work for them. It's like that is what it is. And obviously, I mean, you know, Panhellenic sororities when I say that.
Mm-hmm. We see like when sororities are like outside of this system, we don't see them functioning in the same way. Because I do
think, because it goes back to the purposes for which they were
right,
founded.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like, you know, obviously not speaking from experience, but like Black students still, the original function of Black sororities and fraternities still serves to like a distinct purpose in advancing Black students within collegiate environments.
Yeah. Whereas, and I hope it goes to say that when we're talking about like sororities being a net negative thing, I'm not talking about Black sororities.
No. I don't think anyone thinks that.
Like, yeah, Panhellenic sororities, Panhellenic.
Yeah,
whatever.
Like, no, we're talking, no, I don't think that anybody thinks that.
Even though you as a Greek person should be familiar.
Exactly. As a person of Greek experience. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's fucked up. You're calling it Greek life. What are you? You guys don't go to fucking Easter a week late.
Yeah.
You don't eat a lamb. You don't like have to fucking deal with like old Greek people like getting on a table and singing. You do not know what it means to be Greek. You have all the fun. You drink. You party. Have you ever been to a Greek church and gotten incense shaken in your face for 3 hours? Have you ever been a child told you had to uncross your legs because it was vulgar to cross your legs?
It's vulgar to cross your legs? That's crazy.
In Greece, it's vulgar to cross your legs, which is because they want to see the pussy.
Give me one margarita.
In Greece,
I'm
it's
open
vulgar.
My legs.
Yeah, literally. In Greece, it's vulgar. You've never watched your mom drink a bottle of wine while in church because that's allowed there. Oh, we need to talk about the consultants.
Oh my God.
People who should be in jail. People who should be in jail. These women are literal con artists, manipulators, and fucking scam artists. Like jail, mm-hmm. jail. They are consultants who work with young women who want to get in sororities. They literally tell them what to wear. They do.
They
why are resumes involved?
Yeah.
What,
oh my God. Imagine
what does an 18-year-old have on their resume? What the fuck? What would have, okay, let's play. What would have been on your resume at 18?
Well, it would be, I had one job. I'm thinking of Meg though right now, because Meg would have filled her resume up, because guess what, bitch? She worked at Express, she worked at Old Navy, and she worked at Madewell. And you know that would impress.
Good.
And
yes.
You can see that ladder climbing in terms of clothes cuteness.
Exactly.
So
yeah, they're like,
you came in with a
goal.
Yeah.
Mine would have been, show choir. It would have been all the musicals.
Chamber choir.
It would have been my job at the burger place. And like the mission trip that I went on to like build a house when I was like 14.
Group.
Yeah. Not youth group, bitch. School. That shit was for extra credit. I built that house within an inch of its life. I boots the house down. But yeah, so these consultants basically, like, they are former sorority girls who are like, the best thing that will ever happen to you is being in a sorority, as evidenced by the fact that I don't have a real career.
Well, and them being like, both of them are like, well, the older one is like, Michaela's consultant is like, the first time I rushed, I didn't get anything. And the second one, I got my top choice. And then the other one is like, I got dropped by my top choice. But then
yes.
The other one was the best in my life. And it's like, okay, so these are two girls who had like trauma from the rush experience. I can imagine.
Literally. Like, yeah. These are two people with trauma from not
and
being picked.
And spend the rest of their life trying to be, feel like they fit in from girls who they perceive as.
And
like, honey, I can relate to that, certainly. But I'm just like, let's call a spade a spade. Like, that's what it is.
I cannot imagine the temerity of somebody who's like, sits down with a teenage girl and is like, basically, you need to sit there, you need to say these five things, and then you don't fucking say anything else. They're like, do not talk about politics. Don't talk about inflation. They told the blonde girl, I forget her name, to not talk about Isabella. They told Isabella to not talk about inflation. I'm like, imagine.
Well, she was like, you can talk about Black Lives Matter, but don't talk about inflation. Like, what do you guys think of causing inflation? And yes, I feel like she probably only said that for the benefit of the camera of like, no, you can totally talk about these racial issues.
Black Lives Matter. Yeah. But not inflation. And it's like, what is an 18-year-old going in and being like, guys, everything.
I don't know what I as an adult say about inflation, except for, well, actually I will say this. Cause I have been talking about this for the last 24 hours.
Go off.
I haven't gone to Aldi in a while. I went to Aldi yesterday. You know what my grocery bill was for the whole week?
Like $30.
It was like $90. And that was including two bottles of wine, which were pretty good. And
you're going to drink Aldi wine? This is our last podcast ever.
I know. I follow, there's like a Trader Joe's sommelier who does Aldi wine recommendations sometimes. And I've liked her recommendations, but that was like truly... Like I got home and I was so Aldi pilled because we got so much stuff, because that's my one thing with inflation is, and they have not, grocery prices in Chicago, even though we still have no sales tax until July, have not gone down whatsoever. No, so Aldi's bullshit. The place to be. They had like 79-cent cans of cannellini beans. Get with it, Aldi. You're doing a good job.
These chicks are just total con artists. And they both live in like giant houses too, which makes me think like they both just have rich husbands and are like, wouldn't it be fun to torture teenage girls in my free time?
You know, you should read, and I would actually recommend this, and maybe I'll read it for anyone who likes the podcast. I forget who it's by. I think it's like Alexander something, but it's called Pledged. And she actually does a really deep dive actually into sorority culture and follows girls like through Rush and then through like the first couple of years of their life at sororities. Mm. And that's something that they talk about a lot is consultants that are often hired by the parents first. I think that was something so interesting disgusting. Because it's like, they didn't really talk about that much. Is like, how much money are you paying? Like, I wish they would have been like, hi, by the way, like, what's your like hourly rate for this?
Because these women were absolutely hired
by HBO. Yeah.
By HBO. Yeah. I like, and then there's a very dark moment where, trigger warning, right before Rush, we learned that Isabella, this young woman, was sexually assaulted right before leaving for college. And the way that she speaks about it genuinely made me so sad, because it was so nonchalant in a lot of ways. Like, not nonchalant, but it was her like speaking.
All of those experiences are treated pretty like without as much gravity as it makes me sad for these women who are maybe talking about getting their roofied or getting sexually assaulted on camera.
And now everyone knows.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like, you're like, that's just, it's just hard. And to process those things in front of a lot of people is very difficult.
The way that she processes it with like the language of like post 2015 sort of feminism, and like the way that she's like, you know, I am strong, I'm going to grow from this. And like, she's saying this right after it's happened.
Yeah.
Like this teenage girl, it made me so sad that that is just like now like part of growing up as a young person. Like she essentially, like that was sort of the attitude with which it was presented. It was like, this thing, this bad thing happened to me. And like, that's just something everyone goes through.
Well, she said every single woman in this sorority like has been through dark times. And I think that kind of gets down to it a little bit. And like what I was talking about with kind of understanding to a point, the alopecia aspect of it is that is true. Right. And I think that's what makes feminism so complicated. And so much of our lives and how you can critique stuff like this so complicated is no one is exempt from this. No one is exempt of the pain of, you know, the patriarchy, right? Like we're all in it. But then how within that do you like, certainly like there's gotta be like, it's like you, that's not necessarily a write off to do anything. Like, I think it's really hard. It makes a lot of things hard.
No,
and it's like, even like personal choices, like, you know, like me, if I like, cause I don't shave my legs a lot of times. And then sometimes I do. And I'm like, what, you can't even think about a choice like it, when you have to hyper intellectualize like choices like that, when it's like it's just very difficult because we all obviously like live in this, and this sorority culture just kind of calcifies it, because I don't doubt that all those women have been through everything. But it's like, that's like kind of like the worst part of woman. Like, I guess it's upholding womanhood in a way, the bad parts of womanhood.
I guess to me, what's depressing is that it's like that being the, what is available to young women who are going through bad things. Like, that's what's available to them. That is the resource. It's like, there should be a better resource.
Yeah. Not therapy. Yeah.
Like, well, it's not even therapy. It's not even therapy, because like, let's be honest, the student counselors at the University of Alabama are probably some of the biggest war criminals of all time.
When they were talking about the getting drugged thing, the girl Holiday was like, well, we're not going to report it again because I'm tired of reporting it.
Yeah.
And it's horrible, like that goes to show. And that is the thing too, that is also like, and this is like the fraternities on campuses are like that is something that should, no bars hold, be shut down immediately because of all the assault that happens.
Yes.
And it's just what they do to each other.
Like, yes, it's like, absolutely, it's all around.
They didn't
violent.
Even talk about like, hazing or anything.
Yeah. Because I think that, that's one of those things where it would have been, they would have had to talk to people who are actively involved, and like no one is going to do that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like we, you know, there was just a case in Ohio this year where like, or the case just happened, but the trial just happened in Ohio this year, but the incident happened a couple of years ago where it was like a kid like drank himself to death during like fraternity
initiation.
Yeah. And it's like, that happens all of the time. Like, it's all of the time. They do unspeakable violence to each other and to other and to women. Like, it's like,
right.
That's something that
sororities are required to participate. They have to go on dates with these guys, basically. Like,
right.
Maybe not at all, but at this one, it was like, oh, you. And at Miami, they did the fucking like cooler thing. Did you guys have this at Loyola? Where it would be like, when they went on this, they all went on like retreats with dates to like Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where you were forced
that's
to stay
thing.
In a room
Why
with
are
your
they?
Date.
Yes, that is so crazy.
And then what would happen is the girls would, like, because I worked at the bookstore, people would come in like looking for paint to paint coolers for the boys to fill with alcohol. And like, it's
that
like,
so
you're
gross.
Putting like, what, like at a certain level, this is operating with school funds. Schools are funding this. You're funding women, like taking women to like the woods and making them stay in a room with their 19-year-old date. Right. It's like, I don't see how that's appropriate for schools to continue to endorse.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's also negative, but I think that like the zealousness with which, like, it's like the classic thing, like the zealousness, like, you know, it is now a trend to go to Alabama to rush because of like TikTok. Like,
right.
It always was a thing, but there are several girls who were like, I saw this.
Shelby
on TikTok
was recording her TikTok
it.
When she got in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's fucking Shelby, dude. Like that girl. Like I said, a storm is coming for Shelby, and I just hope to be around to witness it.
I feel like
should
Shelby be like your bizarro character?
Yes,
yeah,
she literally is. Like I was like I saw as soon as she pulled out her airbrushed to death like professional headshot, I was like, "Je suis Shelby." Like I feel such a deep kinship with Shelby. We have the exact same face shape. I am waiting for the day that I find out that I've been lied
adopted.
To about being adopted.
That my grandpa like
my grandpa sundowned so hard that he accidentally reveals I was adopted. That must have been when I texted you, like, that is what darked me out. That is so sad.
Well, and it's
that
also like
so
the fact
sad.
That her family was like, we got into Alabama.
Yes.
And that's not about.
We found out we got in. Yeah. You are crazy. You are crazy.
Yeah.
Seek treatment.
Yeah. And I think also like that's the fact too, is like, I don't know if they mentioned this of like, I don't know if she was the first person in the generation to go there, but it wasn't about just any college. It was Alabama. Like we want to participate.
And they're from
in
Illinois.
This. Yeah.
It's so weird.
Again, like, I don't know how like much, like I can keep saying this because like, this is like, I think it's hard not to find these things attractive. in some way, shape, or form, because it's like when you are looking at things that like uphold society and it's like, this is like,
yeah, like, and I can be a part of that.
I can be a part of this. I can get validation for being a part of this. Like if I had rushed and gotten, and when we're talking, I feel like, and I'm sure like our listeners who like, if they were in Greek life, like know what we're talking about and like can understand like when we're saying these critiques of these institutions.
Sure. Yeah.
I also think like we can talk about like the, you know, critical aspects of this. And it is, but at the end of the day, like it does like allow, like it, you are buying into a friend group basically. And obviously that has some benefits, but also has it the way that these, if a lot of people would not be interested in joining sororities, if they didn't have all these perks, quote unquote perks that they come with, because if they were just like social groups, basically that like didn't like, I think that they would be a lot less attractive and a lot more healthy. But and that's not on the people joining them. It's like the schools allow them to continue to function.
They allow them to make those videos where they're all on a yacht, and it's like, fuck, I want to be on the yacht.
Exactly. Like that's why it's attractive, and like that's what makes it hard. And I think that
money, power, beauty, those are attractive things. I'm chasing them every single day.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the woman who directed this, it's like, I get why she's doing that, and I get it. Right, that's like what you are taught to do in like a creative nonfiction class, is weave in your own interpersonal. It looks like you were like doing ASMR on me because you kept.
No, I have a paintbrush and I'm putting like, it in front of my
ASMR podcast.
Yeah.
Like close your eyes. So I can apply this. I saw one today that was like a mermaid. I really don't like ASMR. It makes me mad. I have like a reverse trigger for ASMR, but
yeah.
But like it, I think it is a little bit inappropriate because, and like, I get it. But then I think the longer we get into this stuff, the more we talk about it, we're talking about like the racism aspects of it, the transphobia, like obviously like the monetary aspects that would prevent someone whose parents don't make a lot of money to join in it. I feel like if I went into it and I was like, well, I'm tall. So like, which is a very real thing that I do feel like has put me, a lot of my life being 6'3" has put me on the outsides of like traditional femininity. Like, but that is not the same as having someone be racist against me or
no,
like,
it's not.
And so I feel like that is kind of also where this documentary failed. And I think there could have been a way where she did that well, but I feel like the fact that it kept coming back to the alopecia is maybe what I think that could have been mentioned, but
this girl needs to go to more therapy about her alopecia because clearly it's not working. And that's where we are going to have to end this podcast because the Vanderpump Rules final part of the reunion is on. So I have to go clock in to my shift.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Have fun.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
It ain't a problem. It's my job, son. Sweep the streets clean. Rinse it up. Keep it lean. There's players in the frame. Up in the game. Thinking things have changed, but it's still the same. If you all move to my plan, things will work out fine. Turn out grand. If everything works to my design, we'll all be down and it's still all mine. It ain't a problem. It's my job.